Such a joy again and an honor to stand before you. I just want to just share a portion of this story in Judges chapter 6. And I've just really been challenged by this. I want to share a little bit of it with you in just these few minutes. In Judges chapter 6, you don't have to go there. You could listen if you like, if you want, if you could open up your Bibles there. In Judges chapter 6, I'm just reading from verse 11 through verse 16. It's the story about a young man named Gideon who has this amazing encounter with God. And in Judges chapter 6, beginning with verse 11, it says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor.' And Gideon said to him, 'Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, then why has all of this happened to us? And where is all of his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian.' And in verse 14, 'And the Lord turned to him and said, Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?' And he said to him, 'Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man.'" It's a very interesting story to me, just what I'm able to just recognize about the good news of Jesus. And the message, the title that I want to give you is simply this: take courage in Jesus. To give you a little bit of the backstory that was just happening here. You know, the Israelites had been rebellious, doing whatever they wanted to do. And so God just gave them up to their enemies, which were the Midianites. You know, because sin, when we live our lives in rebellion, when we choose to sin, there's consequences to our sin. And so for 7 years, the Israelites were oppressed by their enemies. 7 years. 7 years of rebellion. 7 years of running from God. And so the oppression was so bad that the Israelites had to leave their home and they moved up into the mountains. And they had to cut out and dig out caves to live in the mountains because they were running from their enemies, the Midianites. They were living in caves. They were living in these holes and crevices. 7 years of being chased by their enemies. And their enemies were so intense and so aggressive that they would go right up into the mountains. They would take everything that they had, their livestock, their animals, their food. They'd take everything from them. 7 years. And then after 7 years, then they finally cried out to God for help. You know, I look at that story in the beginning of chapter 6, and I wonder as I listen to the oppression that they went through, why in the world did it take them so long to cry out to God and repent? But some of us, we still got the same issues right now. We take forever to finally repent and say, God, I'm sorry. And for whatever reason, we'll go through our oppression, we'll feel bombarded, we'll feel overwhelmed, and yet whatever it is, maybe because of pride, we don't cry out to God for help. Maybe because we feel ashamed and humiliated, we won't cry out to God for help. Or maybe simply because we think that we can finally, or at some point, figure this thing out on our own. You know, I'm moving up on the job. It's a good day. You know, I just got a little raise. I'm working to get ahead. I'm going to figure this out. And yet all of it takes is for people today just to cry out to God and repent of their wicked ways. To come to God, who is faithful to forgive us, who is faithful in his grace and his mercy, to remember that on the moment that we would say, yes, God, I have failed, I've sinned, and he's faithful to welcome us back. That's the desire of God, that we would be reconciled back unto him. And so when they cried out after 7 years, a prophet came to them, and the prophet reminded them of the grace and the mercy of God. Some of us, we need a reminder of how kind God is, of how gracious he is. The prophet came and he said, he set you free. He set you free from Egypt. It was a people that were holding them in bondage. He said he took you out of slavery. He brought you into a promised land. You know, sometimes we look back on our journey and on our life and everything looks like a mess. But when you come to know who Jesus Christ is as your Lord and Savior, you're able to look back and recognize the grace of God that took you out of the mess. So big difference. For those of us that don't know who Jesus is as our Lord and Savior, we constantly look back and we feel like we just have regret after regret after regret. Man, I blew it. Man, I wish I was in a better place than I am right now. I wish I didn't do that. I wish I didn't get into that relationship with that crazy brother. I wish I didn't get into that relationship with that crazy sister. And we go on and on trying to look for excuses as to why it's not working out with all of these regrets that have followed us along in our journey. But I want you to know that we serve a God who wants to restore us back unto him, so that when we look back, we'll recognize that there is a God who's faithful. And it's because of him, it is why we're able to be here in the house of the Lord tonight. Praise God. We made it this far, amen. You're sitting up in here because God is super kind and gracious. You walked in here, your legs are there, your hands were raised, some of you were clapping, you weren't sure why. Maybe you were just like the other sister who testified a little earlier. They really like this music, I better clap too. He gave you those hands, he gave you those arms. This is God and his mercy that we're alive today. Because we serve a God that doesn't want to condemn us for the mess that we've left along this trail of life. Doesn't want to condemn us. He wants to save us. He wants us to live in the fullness of his grace and mercy. And so because of that, the prophet speaks of these wonderful reminders of how gracious God is. And then the angel of the Lord shows up to this young man named Gideon on this one day. And this is really cool. I love talking about this. This young brother Gideon, he was pressing the wheat. He was sifting through wheat in a wine press. You know, a wine press. Now back then, that was pretty much like a pit that had been dug out in the ground. And so it allowed him to be in this pit below ground level. And scripture tells us that he was sifting through the wheat in the pit in the wine press because he was afraid of the Midianites. Because in that time, they were stealing everything from the Israelites. They were taking everything. So here he was on his job, in a position where it really wasn't very suitable for what he was doing. And here he was in the wine press, sifting through wheat, doing the job in fear. Just living his life. 9 to 5. Just trying to keep his head low. Just trying to make it through the day. Don't want to cause any problems. And here he is in a wine press, sifting through wheat. Wine press is so that you can press on some grapes. Make some nice grape juice. That's what it's for. But the only thing that was pressing was Gideon being pressed by his fears. And I'm realizing more and more, there's something that God's been dealing with me. What is it, Dave, through your day and in life that you've been pressed with? And for those of us that don't know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we find ourselves living life 9 to 5, on the job, trying to get a little ahead. We find ourselves in this pit, pressed by something. Pressed by fear. Pressed by doubt. Sin pressing us down. Rebellion pressing us down. Addictions pressing us down. We're just trying to keep our head low. I'm just trying to make it through the day. Maybe nobody will recognize that this is the job and this is the life I live and this is the sin that I'm in. But none of us go unnoticed by God. And so the angel of the Lord shows up. Hey, what's up, Gideon? And then he goes on, and angel of the Lord says this. I mean, you got to picture this, okay? This guy's sifting through wheat, keeping his head low, making sure he didn't cause any problems with anybody. You know, he's down in the wine press. I'm just trying to get through the day, clock out at 5 o'clock. Mama made some dinner. I just want to get there and get safe. I don't want to cause any problems. I don't want people to know how scared I am. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord shows up and says, hey, God is with you, you mighty man of valor. Huh? I mean, you got to picture this moment. Here's a young man that doesn't even know the first thing about courage. And yet God calls him courageous. Here he is living his life in fear. And yet God calls him courageous, bold, mighty man of valor. You know, because scripture tells us that God is able to call things into existence, those things that do not exist. Man, that's awesome. That's the power of God to transform our lives, even though you and I think that our lives can't be transformed. Even though you and I don't think there's no way out of this loneliness that I'm facing. There's no way out of this sin addiction that I've got. There's no way out of this oppression that I'm going through. There's no way I can be reconciled back to my family. I have all this fear, and yet God will say, take courage. Take courage. You don't even know what it looks like, but take courage. You want to know why? Because you and I, we can't take courage in the natural. It can only happen in the supernatural. That's the power of God. But some of us, we're just like Gideon. Here's our response when God comes to us in his love and in his power, offering us a courage that's in the supernatural. Some of us, we sound like this. Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened to us? Where's all of his wonderful deeds? Why has my life looked like this? If you really want to call me unto you, now you want to do it? Now you want to bring me here on this Sunday night? And 3 years ago, I wanted it to go right. 5 years ago, I wanted it to go right. 7 years ago, I was really worshiping you, but now I really don't care. And then Gideon just goes on. He goes, all of this stuff that my fathers have talked about, because maybe somebody in here tonight, maybe you grew up in a Christian home, maybe your parents were pastors, but yet everything that you've been taught, everything that's been preached to you, you've seen it all fall down. And maybe you've seen failure. Maybe you doubt. And maybe you would just rather just stay right there in the wine press and be pressed by fear. Where were you? And then he goes on to say, you have forsaken us. No. God will never leave you nor forsake you. If he had truly forsaken you, young Gideon, he would have never showed up on this day and called you mighty man of valor. God's going to show up in your situation. He's going to show up at your wine press. He's going to show up at the pit and call you out. That's God. We heard it earlier. He's come to seek and to save the lost. And when God's on a mission, he's going to finish the mission. He's going to find you. No matter how lost you are in your fear, no matter how lost you are in sin, I don't care what oppression, what addiction is holding you down, no matter how bitter you are because of what has gone wrong with you, he's going to come, he's going to seek, and he's going to save you. And praise God for who God is. Because if it was David Hamm, if Gideon would have mouthed off to me like that, I would have left. I done called you mighty man of valor. I called you courageous. And you just want to blame it all on me. Peace out. But that's not God. That's not God. Our mess doesn't scare him away. Our nasty attitude doesn't scare him away. He's not intimidated by our mess. He's not intimidated by your sin. He's not intimidated by your fear or by your doubt. Matter of fact, he gets more excited to set us free when we attempt to mouth off and make excuses as if he would run away. Because the grace and the mercy of God is way, way much bigger than our mess. And so he just keeps on talking. This guy Gideon is not qualified to be courageous. And yet God just says, go in the power, go in the courage that, that you have. What courage? I don't see no courage. Man, this is not something in the flesh. This is something in the power of Jesus Christ. This is the gift of courage that comes from Jesus. Here's what I'm talking about, my brothers and sisters. When Jesus Christ went to the cross in all of his glory and all of his power, and when he wrapped himself up in our mess, in our sin, it is the power of the cross that broke the chains of sin, the bondage of sin, and the power of death. And when Jesus went to the cross, it was there that the victory is won. Now understand this. When Jesus went to the cross, it declared the victory of the Lord. It was victory. The battle was won on the cross. The power of sin and death was broken. Jesus gets the victory. Therefore, you and I who receive Jesus Christ, we receive that victory. And when you know that the victory is yours, you're able to walk in courage and take the courage of Jesus Christ that was won on the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can't take courage if I don't understand who won the battle for me. I'm not able to walk in courage if I don't understand what Jesus did for me on the cross. The victory was won. I don't have to die anymore. He took my place. I get to live for all eternity. I get this old body's going to pass away. I'm going to look so much better in heaven. Hallelujah. Gideon still didn't get it. His brother got serious issues. So, he looks up and he said, no, listen, you understand, my family is basically, just to kind of just summarize, my family, you understand, they're a mess. You got the wrong person, the wrong family. And me, my family is the weakest. I'm the weakest. I'm the weakest in my family. I'm the weakest in my clan. You don't understand. My dad's never been around. You don't understand. My mother never says anything good about me. You don't understand. My parents, they divorced a long time ago. I've never been taught anything. No, you don't understand, God. No, it's just better that I stay down here in this pit. It's better that I just keep my head low, because you don't understand. Maybe my brothers and my sisters, they're real successful. I'm sure you could use them. But God is saying, no, I want you. God's not looking for all-stars. He's looking for big bench warmers, to pull them off the bench and put them in the starting lineup. That's the power of God to bring courage to your life. And God didn't come. He didn't send his son to look for people that had it all together. God sent his son to look for the sin sick people, those that are messed up, those that are in the wine press, those that feel like, now I'm the least of them. Why would he come to God loves to recruit those that are in the wine press. He loves to recruit those that are in the pit. He loves to do the supernatural experience in their life. This is why he goes on to say it once again. He said, I'm going to go with you. I'm going with you. I'm going to take over your life. Well, clearly, can't you see, Gideon? You're definitely not built for this by yourself. And guess what? You know what? My brothers and sisters, we can't live this life without Jesus. We just can't. If you're still questioning salvation, you're questioning your freedom. There's real freedom in Christ Jesus. This is not just religion. This is not legalism. This isn't come in Sunday, leave out Sunday, come back Sunday. No, this is the lifestyle that we live. We brag and talk about Jesus every day. This is good news. One day this is all going to pass away. And I'm going to shout and praise Jesus all day, every day. My block in heaven is going to be rocking. I don't know about yours. But yeah, there's so many people, right? I'm not sure about it. Really, we're in a time and a day and age where there's like a lot of Gideons. that are just looking up from this place of fear and this place of doubt and not convinced that they can take courage in Jesus. Well, what other courage are you going to find? I don't know what other courage is out there. If there was another source of courage, you would have come out of the wine press already. But this courage that we find in Jesus Christ comes from just this amazing miracle that happened on the cross. The freedom that we find. This is why I'm courageous. This is why David Ham's courageous. Because I'm going to live with Jesus forever. This is why I take courage in Jesus. Because he's broken my addictions. This is why I take courage in Jesus. Because he's brought healing to my life. This is why I take courage in Jesus. Because I can't escape his grace and his mercy. And he just keeps hunting me down every day. And I just finally said, yes, 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 I want you. Take me. And now I'm able to lift my head. And now I'm able to walk in freedom and to be bold. This is not courage that you'll understand in the natural. And the natural will stay in the pit. But it's a supernatural courage that comes from Jesus Christ, who won the battle on the cross. And when he took our mess on the cross, then he really showed up like a superstar, Superman, rose on the third day in all of his power and all of his glory. And as he rose from the grave, that resurrection power he now offers to us. And he says, take courage in me. I'm going to bring you out of the pit. I'm going to give you resurrection life through me, only through me, only through me. Take courage. Music ministry, could you come? You know, tonight, let's bring an end to the lifestyle of fear. The feeling of, I'm not deserving of this God. Hey, you got that part right. None of us deserve this amazing love. This amazing mercy and grace. But he showed up at the wine press anyway. And everything that Gideon said just in that portion of the story alone was all wrong, 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 wrong. And yet God in his righteousness said, yes, 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 yes to you. I love you. I love you. Take courage and receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ tonight. Take courage and allow him to pluck out the bitter root in your heart because of your circumstances and your regrets and whatever you, the muddy trail that you've left. God's not worried about the muddy trail that you've left through these years. He's still going to show up. And he's going to offer courage in Christ Jesus, the courage to receive salvation, the courage to be restored back unto him, the courage to know that we're going to live with him forever and ever and ever, the courage to say, man, I'm going to take my little bit of faith and say, I need you. I surrender to you, Jesus. I surrender all. I surrender out all. Could we stand up? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what? Here it is. Praise God. Let's have a Gideon moment. And let's come to the altar. And let's take the courage that is offered to us in Christ Jesus. That courage from the cross. The gift of courage. Let's come to the altar and repent of our sins. Let's come to the altar and let's receive forgiveness from Christ Jesus. And this is not me just encouraging you to come down here to pinpoint or show out who has been doing things wrong. No, this is you coming to receive the courage that we get from Christ Jesus. No condemnation here. Let's just receive of his steadfast love. I don't know what's been going on in your mind and your heart, some of the stuff that you've been wrestling with. But some of you tonight need to take courage. Take courage with your wife tonight and come down here. Take courage with your friend, your cousin, your family member, and come down to the altar. As they begin to play right now, let's come down to the altar and say, God, I've been living in the wine press too long. Go ahead and play. Some of you have been pressed down by some stuff. And if that's you, come down. You've been pressed down by addictions. You've been pressed down by loneliness. You've been pressed down by sin. You've been pressed down by a lot of stuff. Come and receive healing and freedom in Christ Jesus. Come, come, take courage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Could you just lift your hands with me? Praise God. Yeah, I like lifting my hands because this just really just demonstrates our surrender to Jesus Christ. It opens us up. It's us saying, we're open, Lord. We surrender to you. Would you pray this prayer with me? I surrender to you, Jesus. I surrender my fear to you. I surrender all of my doubt to you. I confess my sin to you, O God. I repent of my selfish ways. Change my heart. Make me a new creature. Lord God, you are King. You're the Savior that died on the cross for me. And you rose again on the third day. Give me life, new life, life more abundantly. Take me out of the pit. I've been pressed down too long by addictions in my sin. Give me courage. Supernatural courage, the gift of courage from the cross, only from you, Jesus. And in your power, I live a new life today, a new creature, born again, saved by the blood of the Lamb. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God.